Welcome to the UN podcast. It's about you. This is your host, Caitlin De Beer. I'm a life coach, speaker, psychology lecturer, and a mum of two littles. And I'm here to inspire you with self-management tips, secrets, interviews, and tricks around loving yourself, loving your life, yep, even the mums, and ultimately to motivate you to want to wake up every morning and live your beautiful life. Over to today's episode. Morning, guys. I'm excited to be connecting with you today. I know that we are finding ourselves amidst an absolute pandemic. And as I read on an Instagram post this morning, someone said, like, dear 2020, this shit definitely wasn't on my vision board. Something along those lines. Anyway, it made me chuckle. I've just been off to the shops to grab some food, and I was wearing my mask, and I was just looking at everyone else wearing their masks. And again, I was just like, oh my word, the times we're living in, this is crazy. But in the crazy, we can still find peace. And in the crazy, we can still make sense of life. And in the crazy, we can still find calm. And my hope for today's episode is that you'll find some of that. I'm trying to put out loads of stuff on my own social media pages of helpful sort of things. But my thinking is that there is so much out there at the moment that is good. And so today we're chatting to Fiona Maas. She's a life and health coach based in the UK. She has so much knowledge. She's just an incredible woman. And I'm really excited to hear what she has to say today. So you'll be hearing from her shortly, but in the meanwhile, I wanted to quickly tell you that my Chaos to Calm course is still available. It's on my website. It's a short course. It's self-paced, which means in your own time, it's 200 Rand, and 100 of that goes to the two organizations that I've been splitting the money between, but basically helping those at risk in South Africa, or more specifically in KZN, during this crisis. So it's short, it's quick, it's all audio based with a few worksheets, but hopefully something that can give you something tangible to work on in helping to bring your chaos to calm in this time, which I think all of us are facing, and all of us in such a different way. So I'm sending loads of love, and I'm excited for you to hear Fiona and my voices next. Cool, guys. I'm so excited to be connecting today with, as I just said on here, with someone that I'm really inspired by. So Fiona, welcome to the UN podcast.
Hi, thank you very much for inviting me on.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you here, and so glad we're both in happy moods because we've both got happy weather outside. do you want to tell everyone a bit about yourself?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, as I say, thank you very much for inviting me on. I am a life coach. So predominantly I work with women, and my focus is on working with overachieving women who have not only forgotten who they are, but who have lost their self-worth and their purpose. And what I work with them on is to help them take control of their life by unleashing their potential and building their self-respect to create a life that truly fulfills them. So that's the nuts and bolts of what I do. Now, I do that in a number of different ways. So I work one-to-one with my clients predominantly. So I coach them online. But then I've also set up a brand called You First. And I set that up last year with the aim of inspiring women to prioritize themselves and to help them grow and become the very best version of who they are. And I do that through events and through workshops and through things like webinars, which I'm holding one on Thursday all about change management. But I also have a lot of conversations about things like this, you know, through the likes of like Instagram Lives, which Caitlin was on one of mine yesterday. And I've had a number of them over the last couple of weeks, and just really helping people prioritize themselves to help them become, you know, to be the best that they can be, no matter what the situation, no matter how challenging the situation. And I think actually, more now than ever, we need to really start focusing on ourselves through this really quite strange period. And I think it's quite an interesting topic to kind of explore, you know, particularly as we have more time or we have more space, or there's probably a lot less pressures. Whilst there are a lot of pressures still, they're different pressures. And how can we actually use this situation to actually support ourselves as best as possible? Mm-hmm. So I'm based in London. I'm normally based in London. I'm isolating at the moment in my parents' house. But yeah, sort of as I say, sort of I'm coaching day to day. I coach my clients. I'm planning or preparing for either my events or someone else's events, planning webinars and Instagram lives, writing articles for my own blog or other publications. But I also actually do a lot of work for me, so and on me. So I have my own coach, I see a therapist, I read a lot, I prioritize exercise, I eat well, self-care, if you will.
Yeah.
Because I believe that in any profession, or anyone really, but especially as a coach, to give your best, you need to be at your best. Mm. So it's hugely important to always put yourself first, and in order to be the very best version of yourself. And actually that is kind of the fundamental reason why I set up You First in the first place. Because it was a personal realization of the importance of putting yourself first. So yeah, that is my work as a coach. Before I was a coach, I worked in a very different world. I was a buyer at a major supermarket, and it was a very busy, demanding role, as you can imagine. And as much as I loved doing well and the rush it gave me, sort of the idea of climbing the ladder and all, you know, all of those things we imagine when you're in a corporate world, the job and the industry and whatever, it really just didn't really align with my values. And I had a huge sense of a lack of fulfillment. And I would often come home and just be, you know, just feel really empty. And like, I've worked really hard, but what is this all for? And, you know, I don't get the praise or whatever that I, you know, I feel like I deserve, or there's just such a lack of fulfillment. And as I say, you know, it just didn't align with my values. And I think over time, this feeling just became more pronounced as personally, in my own personal life, there was a lot more pressures. In 2016, my boyfriend got very ill, and actually the demand that this placed on my own life, you know, my personal life, and then to have a sort of high pressure job as well, there was a lot of stress. And it took me, you know, a lot of time to step away from that job and to kind of step down and, you know, stop wanting to live up to that external expectation. But what happened, there was stress, there was exhaustion, burnt out by the demands of everything. So after about 20 months, I stepped away from that job, and I knew I had to focus on myself and to actually just slow down. And I knew I did want to go into the world of wellness, in quotation marks, but I didn't really know what that was. And it was only when I came across coaching that I really sort of clicked with that. And it, there was some sense of purpose that that gave me. And I realized that through, I got my own coach, and I realized the power of coaching as well. And it really led me down the path that I'm on today. And I found to help myself on path. And actually, let's face it, like, times are tough, and there's always going to be things that are thrown in your way. And it's understanding that, how to deal with those things. And actually, we do all have moments, and those challenges come up, and working through those things, I now feel a huge sense of fulfillment in my work that I can help other people through those challenges. You know, I think a lot of people are in the similar position. It doesn't really fulfill me, but I'm, you know, I'm okay, I'm kind of moving along, and that's fine if you're happy with that. But I truly don't believe that many people are truly fulfilled by that, and they have much bigger goals that they want to achieve. And actually, when they achieve them, they do have this really deep sense of fulfillment, and really are really better understand themselves and what they stand for and what their values are. And it's not easy to make that change. Sometimes we have to do those hard things to actually step into a place we're fulfilling.
Yeah, I think, Fi, everything you're saying is resonating so much with me. And I love how open you are about saying that you see a coach and that you'll see a therapist. I actually put it out there last year that I was seeing a therapist, and I got so many people messaging me saying, like, is there something wrong? And I was like, isn't there always? But also, I don't want anyone to ever assume that I've like suddenly got it all together. You know, I think by us almost very openly saying that we feel like investing in ourselves is powerful, we allow others to do the same.
100%. And I think it's quite interesting that you say, you know, you said that, and people automatically assume that something's wrong. And I think that's the traditional approach of, you know, thinking about like a therapist or, you know, any self-help, is that you only go to that when things are wrong. And in my opinion, that's the wrong way to look at it. You should actually be doing all of it to prepare in case something is wrong. You know, you should be doing it all the time. You know, you don't just go to the gym when, you know, you're you've got to, you know, you're really unhealthy. You go as well when you're also super healthy to keep yourself looking after yourself. You know, you look after your physical health all the time, and your mental health is no different. And I think, you know, there is a lot to be said about being proactive rather than reactive. Sometimes, particularly with mental health, we're too reactive and we actually try to do things when, as I say, when things aren't great, rather than actually being proactive and looking after our mental health beforehand. And that's why I really advocate for, you know, and actually try and be the example of, yes, I go to see a therapist. Yes, I have a life coach. Yes, I'm very open about my emotions and actually that life is hard and life is challenging. There's no two ways about it. I'd be lying if I said that I haven't been through some extremely tough times. But actually, by doing the work, I know how to cope with it. And it doesn't mean that I just fly through that situation. But actually, I know how to handle it. And I will still get upset. I will still get angry. I will still get stressed. But I understand those emotions now. And I understand what triggers those emotions now. And I understand what I need to do to help myself move through that period. And that's where all the work I do when I'm not in a state of, you know, a situation where something is not great. It's the work before that really helps me in those times.
Yeah, I hear you completely. I was obviously in the UK like a month ago, and the weekend that I got back, my son was admitted to hospital, and he's 2, and it was super stressful. And I actually did a podcast episode when I got out of hospital on it. And I said, I was chatting about resilience, and it's very much what you've just said. And I just said that I'm so grateful that I do this work on myself all the time. I try to, at least, because then when a moment like that hit, that was super stressful, I was sort of okay. and that was cool, you know, to be able to say, like, I work on myself all the time with the hope that when things really do turn bad, or when life throws you some hard things, that you kind of have the tools to be able to, yeah, get through it. Not that it doesn't derail you, but just in an easier way. So,
yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I love the fact that you use the word resilience, because it's something that it's a word I've kind of used a lot over the last year or so. And I actually did a You First event last year about resilience, all about resilience. And we talked about resilience in different forms, resilience in the workplace, resilience in your personal life, resilience through health or through challenging situations, resilience as a mum, you know, resilience in many, many different forms. And I think everyone's interpretation of resilience is different, and everyone's experience of resilience is very different. And I think it's a really interesting word to kind of explore, but actually it's such an important concept to kind of have a grasp on, to actually really understand, like, what does resilience mean to you and how can you build your resilience? And I think actually now more than ever, you know, understanding how you can work through this period, what things you can put in place, learning from this experience through, you know, being isolated at home, you know, all the pressures that are coming from the outside world, whether that's because of work or because of demands, you know, you're saying, you know, in terms of you've got a completely different life now in terms of with having the kids at home and et cetera, et cetera. You know, working through all those things, they all filter into your resilience and build into your resilience. And I think that's what's really powerful about leaning into these situations that are difficult, because actually ultimately it's going to benefit you. And actually the resilience, what you're learning now and how that building into your resilience is only going to benefit you in the future for whatever else comes up.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I feel like with this crisis that we're facing now, something I've noticed, like, in the last week is just how, even within my own streets, like within my own neighborhood, my own family, we're all experiencing this crisis so differently. And I think it's a combination of circumstances, your home life, but then also personality. And that's so interesting as well. And like you said, you know, that personal resilience. So yeah, let's talk about you, Fi. How have you personally been affected by this pandemic? Tell us a bit about you and life in London.
I think what you're saying in terms of, you know, everybody is affected by this, but everyone's affected by it completely differently. I think that's, you know, that's completely the same here, no matter where you are, that's completely the same. And I think, you know, a lot of my friends went into this who, like, live in flats in London, in a way, kind of enjoying the novelty of it, you know, the idea of doing house, you know, on the house party app and having Zoom quizzes and doing yoga together and having these fancy meals, making banana bread, you know, having wine in the evening and whatever. But that novelty soon wore off as they missed like the simple things, you know, being able to go outside and being in the fresh air and, you know, seeing loved ones over Easter or Mother's, we've had Mother's Day during the lockdown and, you know, all of these things over time, it's been affected. But there are also a load of people who are living by themselves. And for those people, it's, you know, it's incredibly challenging and it's incredibly tough. But for myself personally, you know, I've almost kind of done it the opposite way around. And just before lockdown, I actually came to my parents because I was actually meant to be going to Peru at the end of March. And so I kind of knew that, you know, coronavirus was bubbling up and I thought London was probably not the safest place to be. So I kind of moved up here a couple of weeks before I was meant to go in to kind of just, you know, trying to stay away from it all and hope I can get away to Peru, as at that point, South America was kind of fine. But then 2 weeks, everything changed, you know, no travel, no one could, Peru shut their borders, basically all my trip got cancelled. And whilst I was here, the lockdown got announced. And initially there was a huge sense of fear, sense of sadness, you know, shock, denial, all of those feelings happened when they announced the lockdown. You know, I was going to be living just with my parents. And as a 29-year-old who's very independent and lives by herself, you know, that was kind of terrifying. And I'm not going to lie, you know, it was tough at the beginning. And when they announced it, I did, you know, start getting really emotional and I did cry. But as time has gone on and the more, you know, my parents and I have realized our boundaries, we've worked with each other to kind of understand, you know, how we can deal with this situation and created a structure around our days, around our weeks. It's really helped us work through the situation. Fortunately as well, we also have a garden and having that outside space is actually an amazing commodity at the moment to actually have. But personally for me, I think a lot of the emotions that I felt right at the beginning were because I was also dealing with a huge situation when COVID, you know, the lockdown was announced and COVID-19 started happening. And unfortunately, at the beginning of the year, I was already working through a load of emotions because I was dealing with grief at that time. And at the beginning of the year, I was kind of blanketed by a lot of sadness for me. So to go into isolation and kind of feel like, again, I was restricted and there was more pressure put on me, you know, it kind of exacerbated all of that a lot further. But actually what I found that through the isolation, it's kind of ironically supported me quite a lot. And it's allowed me to strip away quite a lot of the noise that, and the pressure that I was feeling from the outside world. Because beforehand, you know, when I was going through this period, living in London, which is so high pressured, everything's on all the time. You need to be doing something all the time. If you're traveling anywhere, it takes you ages to travel anywhere. You're constantly thinking about, you know, how am I getting there? What, you know, have I got enough time to get from A to B to this, to that, and the other? And there's so much pressure. You know, everyone's doing something every night, going out for dinner, going out to the theater, you see it on Instagram, they tell you, etc., etc. And when you're kind of struck by grief and you've got all these emotions, it really overwhelms you and it actually stops you from being able to focus on what you need to focus on right at that point, and that is you. So ironically, by everyone being in the same situation where they're isolated, they can't do all of those things. It stripped all that noise away and that pressure away from me. And whereas before I was worried about all of those things, actually now I can sit with myself a lot more. I can slow down. I can look after myself, whether that's mentally, physically, or emotionally. I just really work on me and work through those emotions that I've needed to work through. And it's really put me in a really strong position and put me in a really positive mind frame. And I'm doing the basics exceptionally well. And I'm able to actually really work through a daily structure, do things which I know I'm helping me. And that's really supporting me. And I'm using my toolbox that I know I have and I know I can lean on. And actually, I've been able to bounce back pretty quickly. And I've been speaking to my therapist about this. And she's kind of a little bit, you know, struck by, you know, you seem to be doing really well in a way that she's a bit shocked by. Obviously she doesn't want to push me down, but she is, you know, you are doing really well. But that comes back to what I was talking about before about this resilience and about understanding how to work on yourself in times where seemingly there is nothing wrong. you know, and actually being able to lay the foundations that when you need actually that support, you need to be able to build on those foundations, you can, because you already have that framework in place. And that's why it's so important to be doing the work when, well, all the time, really. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now at this point in time, I'm trying to use that experience and use my own understanding and my knowledge personally and professionally, you know, as a life coach to support other people. So through, you know, my Instagram lives, through my work, through my newsletter, through my blog, all of those things to really help other people to realize that actually, yes, we are going through a pandemic, and yes, this is affecting everybody. But if you are not directly affected by the virus, you know, you are not actually working on the front line, it's not affecting you and your health, it's actually an incredible opportunity to slow down and to really appreciate the simple things and to tune into yourself more, to recognize what actually you value in your life. And actually what you don't at the same time, because understanding, you know, looking back and thinking, why did I waste so much time on doing that? Why am I not putting more focus on that? Because actually making those realizations and working through all those thoughts at this time, when you have the time and the space to do that, it puts you in an incredibly strong position. But when we come out of this, to actually make informed decisions and make informed changes that ultimately will support you to improve your life, to work towards goals that you want to achieve, you know, to really laying steps towards or creating steps towards, you know, what you want from your own life. So I think it's an amazing opportunity now for us to lean into it a little bit more.
Yeah. I love that. And I think your situation is obviously so, so unique. In the depth of what you're dealing with specifically, but I love how you've said, you know, this does give us a time to lean into ourselves, and I actually referred to it. So I don't know how much of my story you know, but I was in rehab in 2007 for an eating disorder, and I was saying, like a couple of weeks back, I said that I almost feel as if we've all been placed in rehab. And rehab's an incredible yeah. space, because it forces you to face things, because you're not allowed to use your usual coping mechanism or escape. For me, obviously, was the abuse of food and exercise, but for some would be, you know, their drug of choice, whatever that looks like, whether it's even busy, just busying ourselves. And we're all in little rehabs of our own where we get to sit at home and look in. And for some, the first time ever, perhaps, that they've actually journeyed there. And I think that can be so scary. Oh my goodness. But to just allow those emotions to surface is incredible. And I love how you said that you've done that. You know, you've cried and you've journeyed through those emotions. And then you get to learn a whole lot about yourself. And like you said, that maybe we could come out of this and just know ourselves in a really different way. You know which relationships we actually want to invest more time in and which people we didn't even think to message during this time. And same with our dreams and our passions and whatever it is that we feel like our minds are usually filled with. The slower life is incredible. I think it's really given us all an opportunity, and hopefully not a scary one, hopefully a very inviting one to look in.
Yeah. I love that you said we've all been placed into rehab. I really like that. And I really like, you know, it's the overindulgence that we can all do too much. And like you say, it doesn't have to be, you know, things like drugs or alcohol or exercise or whatever. It could just be the idea of being so busy that you avoid what you really need to address. Mm-hmm. And I think quite a lot of people do that. There is a lot of people that just avoid reality by busying themselves, by cramming their diary so full that they don't have time to think and they don't have time to just slow down and really consider, like, what is important to me? Mm. And now they've been forced into that position. I think, like you say, it's actually a really inviting and in some way beautiful way to look at this situation if you allow yourself to do that.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's if we do. And I got myself into one of these situations again about 2 years ago, 2018, where I'd busied myself again to the point of burnout. And I was really running, but I was in early motherhood, and that stage of life is just incredibly stressful. And it was so scary when I woke up one day and realized what I'd done, because it was very much what I'd done and how busy I'd made my life and my kids' lives and our schedules. And oh my goodness, but it was just that running. It was really scary to face things. And yet all the times that I've hit these points, I've cried for a good day or a few in some points of time. And then suddenly it hasn't been so hard to pick up the pieces again and to rethink it all. I think it's that cracking point that often for many of us is so scary to go there. But actually when we do, it's actually not so scary after all.
No, and I think acknowledging those emotions and allowing them to come is really important as well. Mm. You know, just actually being able to cry is really, really important. Like, to feel is something that sometimes we can push aside because, you know, we don't need to cry right now, or, you know, we're trying to avoid it, we don't want to look silly or whatever it may be. But, you know, just letting yourself say, I feel sad today, that's fine, because we're human. You know, I said it earlier that to acknowledge that life is not linear and we will all face challenges and we will continue to face challenges. You know, actually, my mum and I were watching a program last night and something happened and the mum turned around and said, everything will be all right from now, to the girl. And I actually was like, how can she say that? Because it's actually a little bit ridiculous to say something like that, because that's not how life works. And I think once you're honest with yourself, and that is brutal honesty, that life will throw up a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. And actually you will feel emotional, you will feel stressed, you will feel angry, but it is understanding how you deal with all of those things, how much of that emotion you let in, how much you let it overwhelm you, what triggers those emotions, how do you support yourself when you feel like that? Very important things. Not by ignoring challenges or ignoring emotions, because none of that will help. Because actually what happens then is that it builds and builds and builds until it overwhelms you, and you don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, I totally hear you, yeah. I mean, Fee, how do we move from here? What do you feel are, I suppose, effective ways that that we can all look after ourselves in these uncertain times?
I think there's probably three things. Yeah, three things I would probably say is that one point. Listen to your emotions. You know, if you're feeling stressed about it, if you're feeling sad about it, if you're equally feeling happy and guilty. And we actually had this conversation yesterday, you know, about guilt is listen to what those emotions are and actually work through them and lean into them where you need to. Don't ignore them, but address them. And whether that's addressing them through talking to friends or understanding, okay, I'm feeling this emotion, how has that been triggered? Okay, I'm feeling this emotion, what do I need to support myself? How do you support yourself through these times? And that could be, you know, if you're feeling anxious because you're hearing about the number of death tolls across the world, because you're listening to the news so much, do you limit the news? You know, are you getting anxious by seeing what everyone else is doing on social media? Do you have to limit your exposure to that? You know, what is it that's causing you those emotions to come up? Why are you feeling those emotions? Really working through them. And I think that's what's going to really support you through those times. I think the second thing would be, what small actions can you bring into your day, your daily structure to keep a positive mindset? And is that something like exercise? You know, and that doesn't have to be an overindulgence of, you know, HIIT sessions that we're seeing a load of on Instagram and things. But that could just be movement. That could just be a walk. That could be a bit of stretching. What is that for you? And it's all very individual. You know, are those small actions about having structure around meals? You know, does knowing that you have breakfast at 8, lunch at 1, dinner at 7, does that help you in terms of keeping your day ticking? Are those small actions? And it's nothing major. Or is it about just getting dressed? And I did a post on this the other day on my Instagram, which seemed to resonate with quite a lot of people, and just actually getting dressed. You know, I'm doing it now every day because I know that I get up, I do my exercise, I go and get, as I say, I get properly dressed, I'm just dressed. Yeah. But like I get properly, you know, I get dressed as if I'm leaving the house, as if I'm going to go and do something, because that changes my mindset completely. I feel so much more positive when I'm not just in my leggings. You know, I'm not just scrape my hair back or whatever. I feel much better. And actually recognizing those small actions that we can bring in daily, and they don't have to be massive, but allow you to, you know, just feel that little bit more positive, that little bit of an uplift, you know, helps your energy through the day, because those small things will lead on to something else. You know, those small things will make you want to go and do that next step, and then that next step, and they all will help and lead into one another. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I would say is focus on you and do what you need. And we've spoken about this the whole way through. You know, listen to yourself. You know, we're all in this together. We all are sharing in this experience, but just like I have a very different experience to what other people, you know, are facing, and I'm dealing with it one issue as well as this bigger issue, so will so many other people. Mm-hmm. So many other people will have other issues as well as this one. In fact, most people will, because that's life. And they will be dealing with it concurrently to the pandemic. So listen to what you need. You know, let go of the pressures of the outside world. And, you know, as we've spoken about, now is an amazing time to really do that and to really focus on ourselves as individuals, because there are no rules. There are no rules to how to manage this. Mm-hmm. The only rule is doing what actually you need to best support yourself as best as possible to help yourself to keep moving forward and without any external pressures, you know. And this is really why I am this, the sentiment of you first, and why I set up you first in the first place, is really prominent, you know, in all manners of life. And it's why I really hold on to it so dearly, because in all of these experiences, through all of these challenges, the best way to move forward through them is to always put yourself first in order to help yourself as best as possible in this situation, but also to help others.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I absolutely love those. And I think if we can all apply all three of those on different days, at different moments, but continuously, I think we can come out of this and just be more refined, better versions of ourselves, which is, I suppose, a gift in itself. So, yeah. So thank you. Thank you for your time today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything final that you would like to say, and can you tell everyone where they can find you online, in person, however much you'd like to share?
So you did sort of say, you know, what message would you like to leave our listeners with, just, you know, when we were sort of planning this. And I was looking through, have you read Charlie McKenzie's book, you know, The Horse, I've forgotten the title now, The Horse, the Boy and the Mole?
No, I haven't.
The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. It's a book by Charlie McKenzie, and I would thoroughly recommend it to everyone. It's essentially a book of beautiful sketches and quotes to go alongside it. It's like the modern day Winnie the Pooh.
That's cool. That's
what it's been dubbed as. But it's beautiful, and I would highly recommend that to everyone. But there's a quote in there that I think really resonates, and actually a lot of them resonate through this period now. So I think if you're going to buy a book and you want something to uplift you, I'd recommend getting that. There is one quote I just kind of want to finish on, which basically says, "What's the best thing you've learned about storms?" asked the boy. "That they end," said the horse. Mm. And I think that that's really prominent to kind of remember right now, that these things will pass, but when we walk through them, or when we learn that, you know, not all of these hard times are permanent, it really helps us make them, you know, get through this time.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I absolutely love that. Yeah. Fee, where can
if you want to get in touch, the best place to find me is through my Instagram, which is @FionaMoss_. And I am holding a webinar tomorrow. It depends when people listen to this, but on Thursday the 16th, which is 4 p.m. UK time, so 5 p.m. South African time. And it's all about change management. So understanding the natural cycles of change and understanding how you can work with those cycles of change to actually get the best outcome for yourself.
Stunning. I love that. Yeah. This has been amazing. Thank you again.
No, thank you very much for having me, and take care.
This episode has ended. Fiona is so stunning, guys, and I really hope that you found huge benefit in listening to this today. I hope that as much as it's helpful info, I hope it still felt lighthearted and just good stuff to remember. And may we all leave isolation one day when this is all over. May we all leave isolation knowing that we learned so much about ourselves and about life, and knowing that we've put so much in place that we can now start to implement in the real world. I pray that we would use this time as just a really special time to reconnect with ourselves, with God, with family, if you're with family, not to do to-do lists, not to run away, but more just to truly know ourselves and to feel free to have God there. That's my greatest prayer for this time and for world peace. Lord, help us. Guys, I'm sending loads of love, and I hope that today's a beautiful one. Cool. Cheers, guys.